But also in Scripture, light, as it's diffused into the colors of the rainbow, is also glorious. It's what Ezekiel sees as he sees the throne of the Lord. He sees a brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. And of course, in Scripture, we even get that sense of the shining like the sun, bright and powerful. You see, the Bible, yes, says about the glory of the Lord that it is light, that it is fire. But even now, start to picture not just a light going on, as if a light bulb started going, but as fire burning, as a rainbow in all of its colors being revealed, as lightning flashing, bright, brilliant, energetic, as the sun, glorious, all of it together. You start to see we're only taking the most prominent pictures of the glory of the Lord as lights, and you start to realize that what the shepherds must have imagined when the glory of the Lord shone around them. This isn't simply as if they were in a lit room. They felt the closeness of fire, lightning appearing and blinding them, the sun in all of its warmth and radiance, all of the spectrum of color in the rainbow. It's dazzling. It's dazzling. It's radiant. It's brilliant. It's playful. It's warming. It's frightening. You see, the shepherds weren't simply terrified because who turned on the lights? No, because there was real glory and beauty that shone around them. There was never a more majestic or beautiful, radiant or brilliant light that they had ever seen. For the rest of their lives, we can imagine that for the rest of their lives, they would wish so deeply to see that light again, and at the same time fear that it would just be too much. Because it's not simply light that they experience. So we already said, every time this appears, as the glory of the Lord is revealed, the Lord is active and He is present. This is why so often the glory of the Lord was restricted. It was restricted to the Holy of Holies. It is restricted to heaven. But in this moment, there in the fields of Bethlehem, it is just cast around. It shines around these shepherds. The glory that was guarded by the cherubim, where no one may have entered without sacrifice, without blood, without express permission from the Lord, now envelops these shepherds. A heavenly glory shines brightly around these shepherds that evening. You see, we know that if an angel appears, yes, the shepherds would have feared. It's the reaction of heavenly glory in the form of an angel to anyone, any mortal who sees it. But also notice in this passage that it's not simply that the shepherds were afraid. They were terrified, which is the NIV trying to capture, that they feared with great fear. With great fear, they were afraid. They were terrified. And when you start to imagine that, it's not simply a light being turned on, but the fire, sun, lightning appearing, you start to understand why they would be so terrified. I mean, who of us could ever enter the glory of the Lord, His active presence, and wouldn't feel naked in the light of His righteousness? Just so exposed. It would just be too much. Or who could stand in the presence of a God who is a consuming fire and not sense that I am but dust, I am but chaff that is soon burned away? or who could see living lightning and not tremble at the thunder that must soon follow? See how it makes so much sense that they are not just afraid, they are terrified. Here is the glory of the Lord shining around them, and they are sinners. They are like any one of us. And they're instantly aware of the depth of their sin. Every sin of their lives has left a blemish that is now revealed in this light. Every vice that is part of their character is made all the more hideous in the brilliance and purity of the glory of the Lord. Of course, they're terrified. But brothers and sisters, it's the good news. They see the glory of the Lord, and yes, they are terrified. But what does the angel say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Why does the glory of the Lord shine around these shepherds that night? Well, let's put these two scenes beside each other this morning. Here are the shepherds engulfed in splendor, rapture, and beauty as the angel announces the birth of our Savior, the Christ. So what will be the sign? What will be the sign that points them to the great news? Will they find a child similarly surrounded by the glory of the Lord? Will they find the Christ to be accompanied by heavenly glory? Will they find a child with this radiant face full of the glory of the Lord? Now you put these two side by side and you realize just how striking it is. The sign is a child wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. There's no mention of glory. There's no mention of a halo. No mention of bright luminescence to saying, look at this child. You see the contrast in the two scenes. Do you see how it's the glory shining there around the shepherds that must prove the truth, the sign of this child? If you don't see it quite yet, just think about this. I ask you again, who saw the glory of the Lord in the Old Testament? You know it. You may know. It's Moses, right? He expressly asked, Lord, show me your glory, and he was allowed to see it. Do you also remember what happens to Moses after, for a brief moment, he doesn't even get to see the full glory of the Lord? Just a glimpse. But what does it do to Moses? Well, he goes down from the mountain and his face is radiant. So radiant that the Israelites are afraid of that glory that is reflected from his face. And it reminds us that the Lord's glory transforms those who behold it, who see it. But if Moses was transformed after such a brief glimpse, doesn't it seem all the more strange that this glory shines around the shepherds, but not around the child, Jesus Christ? Christ the Lord. Doesn't it seem even more remarkable that the Son of God, who has beheld the face of the Father from eternity, who Hebrews will say is the exact representation of his being, the radiance, the brilliance of his glory, is born without such glory? No trace of it for him. It's not his glory, his heavenly glory, that draws the shepherds to Mary and Joseph. What does this mean? Brothers and sisters, this morning, what does this mean? So we have this contrast. We see it. Christ born without glory, while the glory shines around the shepherds. Well, at the very birth of Christ, there in the fields of Bethlehem, the shepherds receive a foretaste of the mighty wonder that God has done in the birth of our Savior. That it is this child, our Savior, who by laying his glory aside, would open up the way for us to enter glory. He is born like us. He enters this world without glory so that we may enter into glory and not be consumed and not be cast out, but like the shepherds may stand in awe, yes, be terrified, but see it. It's as the prophets foretold, salvation will come when God's glory is revealed. The glory shining around the shepherds is the promise that sinful people may enter the glory of the Lord through Jesus Christ. I say that this is just a foretaste, just a glimpse, because how this will happen was yet unknown. But the rest of the gospel is going to reveal this. Because Jesus' glory will not always be hidden. Already mentioned, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus appears in radiant, lightning white and bright clothing, where the glory cloud overshadows and speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." There it becomes, for just a glimpse, clear that this is God's glory revealed, though now hidden in humility, in humanity, to save us. This will again appear that Jesus has this on his mind as he prays his high priestly prayer. Because as he calls, as he prays upon his Father, he asks, "Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Here we may hear that and think Jesus is just asking for everything to go back as it once was, for him to receive the glory that he had before as the Word, as the Son of God. But it's not all the same. Things have changed. The glory he will now receive, he will receive as our Savior, as our incarnate Savior. He asked the Father to glorify him with the glory he had as a human. See, he died in our place, rose in our place, ascended into glory in our place as our Redeemer. And because of that, at his birth, when there is no glory that would draw us to him, there is glory that starts to open up for sinners, for shepherds, as a foretaste of what will come. He opens up the way because he is the way. He will reveal the glory of God. But here's the thing. When Jesus appeared, it didn't come in bright light, fire, and lightning. It came as a child, a Savior, who lays his glory by, who's born in and laid in a manger, who will later take up his cross, who would die and rise from the dead to save sinners like these shepherds. You see how the contrast doesn't simply contrast, but it highlights. That night, they experienced glory as they never would again in their lives here on earth. And yet, at the same time, we say they soon afterwards got to see something far more beautiful, far more glorious, something more astounding even. For they went and sought this child, and they found him, and they saw him. They saw the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Or at least that's how Paul will later put it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. That we have seen the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. The shepherds may not have realized that that evening, They had stood in heavenly glory, but what was incredible was that this angel pointed them to search for the child that was truly. They saw him. They beheld the glory of God, the face of God. Did the shepherds know? Mary, did you know? But we do. We see in Luke 2 everything pointing to us to that child. Yes, that even that heavenly glory that shines around the shepherds is as if it's as if the boundaries between heaven and earth are weakening. Because the glory of heaven has come in and broken into this dark world. No, the glory of heaven, the Son has come to earth, has become flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Say it again. He became like us, that he may make us like him. Children of God, as John would say, or to bring many sons to glory, as Hebrews 2 will show us. He laid his glory by, that he may share it with us and bring us into that heavenly glory. And the shepherds that night, they got a glimpse of this hope. Well, one day, that'll happen, no longer to make us afraid. Then that glory will appear, and we will not be ashamed, feel out of place, or exposed. Because we'll be heirs. Jesus is the hope of glory for everyone who will believe in him. The burst of heavenly glory shining around the shepherds at the birth of Christ helps us to see that, just as it helped the shepherds to see the glory of the Savior born in Bethlehem. Now this morning, as I already mentioned, the glory of God, beholding it changes us. Very literally, for Moses, as it transformed his face. But we see that throughout the prophets. Many prophets, as they came and saw the glory of the Lord in some vision, in some dream, then were equipped to become prophets, proclaiming the glory of the Lord that they had encountered. It's no surprise that after the shepherds behold this glory and see Jesus Christ, what do? Well, they go and they share the word concerning all that had been told about this child. But how will this glory change you? How does it change you to see the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ and that child that was born in Bethlehem? Jesus is our hope of glory. It may be a great time of year. You're surrounded by family. You're enjoying the holidays. But it could also be you could be in the midst of struggles and darkness, and maybe both. Do you see that this sign of glory is a powerful one? Throughout Scripture, it's always there, that sense that our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Take the time to reflect on how Jesus laying in a manger, having laid his glory by, gives you such hope. To realize that the express purpose for which Christ was born is to lay his glory by, that you may enter it as a son, as a daughter, as an heir of God himself. Meditate on the vision granted to the shepherds. Both in that glory that shines around them, that fire, the lightning, the light, the sun. But then appearing in glory and splendor, though hidden in the face of Jesus Christ. But even if we're not in the midst of struggles, perhaps we need this even more. There are going to be a lot of things in this world that have the appearance of glory. There is a natural worldly glory that we pursue, that we go after. Whether it's in our possessions, in the money, in the status, power, position, influence, or something else. And we need to hold these things up to that greater glory of that great gift that God Himself would come to save you. Not that salvation will have a greater glory than no eye has seen nor ear has heard, a greater glory than we can imagine that'll make really everything here just look like chaff. And if we got a sense of it today, it'll terrify us, it'll excite us, it'll be something that we want more of and yet also can't handle. But if you, when you believe in Jesus Christ, there is a true glory as children of God, as heirs through the birth of Jesus Christ, that lays ahead for you. And like our Savior, today, that may still be hidden in Christ today. But we need to hold on to that. We have to have a sense of it to live in this world and not get caught up in pursuing these lesser glories. How do you know that you'll receive such a glory? It's grace. What is astounding in this passage is that the shepherds, yes, they're terrified, and they are rightly so. But they survive. They behold God's glory and get to speak about it and talk about it. That is something that was only reserved for Moses in the Old Testament. But here they are. Grace. And they get to see it in Jesus Christ, the Savior. For there is the glory of God in a form that we recognize. And a man who looks like us, a Savior who looks like us, a Savior who is born like us. That we may be born again, children of God, and heirs to glory. Amen. Let's stand and sing in response from hymn 21. We'll sing of the shepherds and the glory that they beheld. Hymn 21 sentences 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.